In the Treasure Corner, Program 2, September 18, 2008. Welcome to the Treasure Corner, where we discuss all things concerning metal detecting and treasure hunting. I'm Dan Hughes. If you'd like to send me an email or drop me an MP3 voicer about the show, the email address here is thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And please visit our website, thetreasurecorner.com. From our tips and tricks department, a word about nail aprons. If you wear a nail apron when you detect, I'd like to recommend that you wear it high on your body, up around your chest rather than around your waist. And here's why. If you wear it at belt level, the bottoms of the pockets will tilt outward and maybe even upward when you kneel down to dig a target. Items you've already found can easily slide out of the nail apron without your knowing it. If you wear the apron higher on your body, it won't bend or tilt when you kneel, and your finds remain safely in the pockets of the nail apron. Okay, today I want to talk about what's sometimes the most important and often the most difficult single thing to do in metal detecting. I'm talking about getting permission to hunt a property. If you hunt a prime location without first getting permission, you could be arrested for trespassing or maybe even shot. And it's best to get permission in writing if you're hunting isolated land where a neighboring farmer may try to run you off a field you actually have permission to hunt. Showing him a note from the landowner will usually solve that problem. Even public places like beaches, parks, and schoolyards, which may be legal to hunt, can attract well-meaning but uninformed citizens who think you're doing something illegal and ask you to leave. Showing a note from the local police department is the best way to answer such a complainer. I teach a treasure hunting seminar in a small town, and before my first session, I sent an email to the superintendent of the town's recreation department. It said, "Dear Mr. Thomas, I will be teaching a class soon on metal detecting, and one of our activities will be practicing with detectors in local parks. I practice and will teach responsible digging techniques, leaving no holes, and striving to make the ground look like nobody had been there. We will also remove all the junk we find, rusty metal, shredded aluminum cans, pull tabs, etc. Please let me hear from you, and thanks for your time. Dan Hughes." Now he emailed me back, "Dan, that will be okay as long as you leave things as you find them." I printed out those two emails, mine first and then his answer, on the same sheet of paper. I keep that paper in my glove compartment so that if a policeman asks me to leave, I can show him the note from the park superintendent that gives us permission to detect in the parks. You need to know the ground rules for each community you plan on working. Each state has its own laws, and many municipalities have their own laws. You have to ask locally. Here in Illinois, for example, some state parks allow detecting and some don't. And for the ones that do, there's no fee, but you must sign in at the welcome station before you detect. For schools, talk to the principal, and again, try to get a note. Now here's an idea for you. A treasure hunter contacted a school's science teacher and offered to bring his detector to class and give a demonstration to the kids. Before class, he planted a few coins in the playground sandbox just to be sure he'd find something to show them. His demonstration earned him permission to hunt the school grounds whenever he wanted. Winter is a good time to line up your permissions. When the ground is frozen and covered with snow, and all you can do is dream about getting out with your detector, well, spend some time contacting all the small communities in your area to learn their local detecting ordinances or rules. If you get emails back from them, print out those emails. Be sure to write down the names of the people you talk to if you do this by telephone, and have those names with you when you're able to detect these areas. Now let's talk about detecting private yards. Yards are often full of old coins because, unlike parks and schoolyards, most private yards have never been detected. How do you get permission to search these yards? The three main ways are to ask by mail, ask by telephone, or ask in person. I personally feel that for private yards, asking in person is the only way to go. Letters are ignored. Phone callers are too easy to hang up on. I know a guy who just went door-to-door in old neighborhoods asking to detect yards. He dressed neatly. No t-shirts, and especially no t-shirts with naughty or political slogans. He wore clean clothes, a nice shirt with a collar, no sunglasses, no ball cap, no cigarettes. He'd knock on the front door, back off a few feet because he didn't want to appear threatening, and smile when the door was opened. He said, "Hi, Mrs. Smith, my name's Richard Green. My hobby's searching yards for lost coins. He held up his detector as he spoke, but he kept his digging tools in his back pocket out of sight. I just came from Mr. Brown's next door, and he said you might let me check your yard. Now, don't say that if it's not true, but when you do detect somebody's yard, ask if they know the names of the neighbors and if they think they might allow you to try their yard. I don't leave holes or tear up the yard. You won't be able to tell I was here. I'll carry away the trash I find, and if you've lost any rings or jewelry in the yard, I'll keep an eye out for them. Is that okay? He would get a yes or a no. If they said no, he'd apologize for bothering them and thank them for their time. If they said yes, he'd start detecting out by the sidewalk, again non-threatening, and gradually work his way closer to the house. When he was finished, he'd knock again, offer them a few of the lesser coins he found, and return any jewelry if they said they'd lost anything, and ask for the name of the next-door neighbor so he could repeat the process there. He got a lot more yeses than nos. If you're too shy to knock on doors, your success rate in getting permission to hunt private yards is going to be low. If you write a letter, keep it informal and friendly. Now here's one of the problems with letters. How are you going to know that the owner agrees to let you search the property? Are you going to ask him to call you? Tell him you'll call him? Ask him to write you back? None of these are real good. If you want a written response, do you enclose a form for him to sign or do you ask him to just jot you a note? Forms arouse suspicion because they look too official, too legal, too much like a contract, and maybe you know something about buried treasure in his yard that he doesn't know about. And you'll need to include a stamped self-addressed envelope for his reply. You don't want him to have to pay to give you permission to hunt his yard. After you've done all this, the odds are you'll never hear from him. Calling on the telephone is the worst way to ask permission to hunt a property. People hate phone calls from strangers. Most of the time you'll be told no and hung up on if they listen to you at all. Okay, you've been given permission. What next? As we said before, start on the outer edges of the yard, along the front sidewalk, or in the median between the sidewalk and the street if there is one. The farther you are from the house, the more non-threatening you are. After you've hunted out there for a while and the homeowner gets used to you, you can move closer to the house. If the homeowner likes you, he may even ask his neighbors to let you do their yards. It's great to have a homeowner going to bat for you with the neighbors. When you're doing a homeowner's lawn and the yard is dry, dig very carefully. Use only a screwdriver and be careful you don't damage the turf. If you do damage to a yard, word will get around and you won't be welcome in that neighborhood anymore. Once in a while, you'll get a deep signal you're afraid to dig because it will be too difficult to retrieve without tearing up the grass. When this happens, if the homeowner is nearby, call him over and tell him you've got a good signal, but you don't want to dig because you're afraid you'll damage the yard. You'll laugh, but in this situation, I've had homeowners go to the garage for a shovel and come back and dig the signal themselves. Once you get permission at one house, it's often easier to get other homeowners on the same block to let you detect their yards. I've actually had a homeowner watch me over the fences I detected a yard, and after a while he asked me if I could do his yard next. Finally, here's an idea that might help you get permission to hunt properties that would otherwise be off limits. Let your local police know your hobby is metal detecting. Ask them to write down your name and phone number, or better yet, have some business cards made, and tell them you want to volunteer your services whenever the need arises for a metal detecting specialist. Treasure hunters have been called in to help authorities find such things as bullets and even guns in criminal cases. Once you've helped the local police department in a case and they get to know you, they'll be more likely to let you hunt in areas where others are not allowed. And so ends another exciting episode of The Treasure Corner. As always, drop us a line or a voice or MP3 note to thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. That's all one word, thetreasurecorner@gmail.com. And check out our website, thetreasurecorner.com. Until next time, I'm Dan Hughes in The Treasure Corner.